Word for us in Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 9 through 12. Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 9 through 12. I urged you to read verses 1 through 12 in your private time and pray that you've done that and can appreciate the broader context. Verses 9 through 12 says, "Then Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest and teacher of the law, and the Levites who were instructing the people said to them all, 'This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep,' for all the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. Nehemiah said, 'Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks, and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength.' The Levites calmed all the people, saying, 'Be still, for this is a holy day. Do not grieve.' Then all the people went away to eat and drink, to send portions of food, and to celebrate with great joy, because they now understood the words that had been made known to them." I want to wrap up our thoughts today on from grieving to rejoicing and obeying. What are we talking about? From grieving to rejoicing and obeying. Under grieving, on last week, I shared with us that as we look at God's word and take an honest look at our lives, we would have to admit there's a whole lot of difference between what God wants and what we have been giving him. And because there's such a difference, we may be tempted to weep and grieve about how sinful we have been. That seems to be noteworthy because that's probably what the people in the text were weeping and grieving about. They were hearing the reading of God's word or law and no doubt thinking about how they were doing so little of what God expected, and it triggered a grievous weeping. However, not only can we weep about the past, if we could tell the truth, there's some stuff going on right now that ought to make us weep. Because the truth of the matter is we have not only sinned, past tense, but we are sinning, present tense. We are missing the mark today. But thank God, the Lord is not just calling us to grieve, but he calls us to rejoice. The text shows us, first of all, the word of rejoicing came through those whom God designated. Ezra was the teacher, and he had to assist him, the Levites, and the people received the word of God. That sounds like how church is supposed to be. God sends a word to the shepherd he's placed. Shepherd ought to have some helpers who can echo and explain what's going on, and people need to receive the word of the Lord. The reason this is important is because when there is no word from the Lord through the one God has sent, when everybody studies for their own interpretation, we may be as jacked up as those in the text. Self-study led to weeping and grieving. It was only through the man of God that they understood we don't have to grieve anymore, that the Lord has sent us a fresh word to rejoice on this, the day called Feast of Trumpets. Feast of Trumpets, closest thing we have to that is what we call New Year's. New Year's is the pivot point from yesterday and today, from yesteryear and this year. New Year's Day, or Feast of the Trumpets, which is the day of our text, is a day where we can choose to commiserate and weep about what happened last year, or we can choose to rejoice about what we believe God will do in this year. And I tried to get you to see that today can be the first day of the rest of your life. You don't have to wait until January the 1st. Today can be the first day of the rest of your year, the rest of your life, and God is calling us forward to grace and mercy and obedience. He's not calling us backwards to wallow in guilt and things we cannot change in the past. The third thing we said about rejoicing on last week was it is the joy of the Lord that is our strength. It's not just joy is our strength. No, no. It's joy of the Lord is our strength. This world has a version of joy that is not strong enough to get us through what we have to go through. This world has its pleasures. It has its creature comforts. It has the things that it offers for a glad spirit. But the stuff just don't last, and it's not strong enough. If you want to make it through life, you need the joy of the Lord to be your strength. It's just some stuff that Charlie Wilson can't get you through. Some stuff you can't wobble through. Some stuff you need the joy of the Lord to get you through these situations. And what marvelous news the preacher have in telling you the joy of the Lord is still available. That you don't have to go anywhere to get it. He's standing at the door offering the joy of the Lord. That was the review. Come on, let's wrap up now. I got one more thing to say about rejoicing, and we need to say something about obeying before we leave today. Here's an additional point under rejoicing. You and I must choose to rejoice. I want you to look carefully at verses 9 through 12 and notice that nothing has changed in the circumstances of the text other than what the people choose to focus on. I want you to get that real good. Nothing has changed in this text except what the people have decided to focus on. Earlier on, they decided to focus on how bad things were. But near the end of the text, they decided to focus on how good things were. Because they changed their focus, they were able to move from weeping and grieving to rejoicing. And you and I today have the exact same opportunity. We can sit up here and have a pity party about how bad things are, or we can choose to rejoice in knowing that no matter how bad things are and have been, I'm still standing. I'm still in this thing. God has brought me through. I've had some hurt. I've had some harm. I've had some bruises, but I'm still standing. And I believe that the best is yet to come. You have that choice. Now, you can sit here and complain about how your life has just been a mess. You can complain about all of the time you've wasted on relationships that have not panned out. You can complain about being on the wrong job. You can complain about getting older and the body just don't operate like it used to. I mean, there's a whole lot to complain about. But you can choose to rejoice in the Lord. And I want to tell you, I'm not in denial. It is true. There are some things that are jacked up about our life. I got that point. Some of you have been through some terrible situations and you're in some terrible situations. I got that point. I understand that you've done some terrible things in the past. That's true. But listen at me now. No matter what you've been through, God is still holding you. That's the only reason you're here. God has brought you through whatever you've been through, and you're still in the game. You're still standing. You're still here. You could have been dead, sleeping in your grave, but by grace and mercy, you are here listening to the word of the Lord. And if you choose, it's up to you, but if you choose, you can rejoice in the Lord. You're not rejoicing about you got bills to pay. You're not rejoicing because you got arthritis. You're not rejoicing because your children act like they done lost their mind. You're not rejoicing about being lonely. You're not rejoicing about the job you can't stand. You're rejoicing about how God is keeping you in spite of all that you got to go through. You're rejoicing about the fact that in spite of all that I've seen, tomorrow can be a better day. Rejoicing about how all things are working together for good for those who love the Lord and are the called according to his purpose. God uses all things for the good of his people. All things mean heartbreaking things, disappointing things, terrible things, things that should have never happened. God can take all of that and work that thing out for your good. Can't you see worry is not working in your life? I said, can't you see that worry is not working in your life? Just weeping and complaining and describing how bad things are in your life, that's not helping you. It's aging you. It's making you miss out on the beauty of the season. You are going from Sunday to Sunday with no joy, no refill, no energizer. You're going out the world backwards. Weeping and wailing and worrying is not helping you. Try some joy. Try rejoicing. The joy of the Lord really is our strength. When you worry, it steals your sleep, steals your appetite. I shared this morning, as a believer, you ought to fall asleep not counting sheep. Why are you counting sheep? You don't own no sheep. What you own? Count your blessings. Count the many ways that things could have been worse. Count the many ways that God is still working things out in your favor. The reason this is important is because we gather Sunday after Sunday for worship. And it's hard to worship with folk that don't choose to rejoice. It's hard to worship with folk that come to church to have a pity party. It's hard to feel the presence of the Lord. And you're sitting next to people that want you to listen to how terrible things are in their life. Baby, that's not what we came here for. We came here to remind ourselves that whatever we're going through, God is able to work this thing out for our good. It may be the worst we have ever seen, but God is still able to fix this thing. If I can just keep my hands in the master's hand, God is still working it out. We came to remind ourselves, if he can make a way for Daniel in the lion's den, he can make a way for us. If he can make a way for the Hebrew boys, he can make a way for us. If God can use David in spite of all of the dirt in his life, then the Lord can use us. We came to remind ourselves we can look past the hills from which cometh our help. But when you come to church to have a pity party for yourself, you mess up the worship vibe. We come to ambiguous moments. One group comes and say, I don't understand it now, but by and by, when the morning comes, we'll understand it better. That's the rejoicing group. There's another group that spent all of their time talking about, I don't understand. I don't understand why bad things happen to good people as if they're good. The book said, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So even if you figured out why bad things happen to good people, it wouldn't apply to you. So why waste all your energy on something like that? Come on back over here on something you can deal with by and by. When the morning comes, we'll understand it. Well, I got to come in now. I tried to say something about grieving and rejoicing. Here we come to the last piece, obeying. The text is not only about moving from grieving to rejoicing. That's good stuff. But you got to also move from rejoicing to obeying. The very act of rejoicing is an act of obedience. But beyond that, notice, would you please, that the people who were rejoicing were duty bound to take a plate home to those who needed some food. There was charitable obedience in the text. Now, before we press it too closely, step back and see how unified leadership played a part in the people shifting from grieving to rejoicing. Did you see how Nehemiah, Ezra, and the Levites were all on the same page? Everybody talking about the same thing. I would dare say if Nehemiah was out there by himself, I'm not sure we would have this text in our Bible. If Ezra was simply teaching but did not have the assistance of the Levites nor the collaboration of Nehemiah, I'm not sure it would have been noteworthy for the text. But because they worked together, not only do we have an example of collaboration, but we have an example of people being blessed to leave sacred ground rejoicing about the goodness of the Lord instead of weeping about their own sin. Can't you see how that ought to be the case in Southern? When we come to Southern, we ought to all be on the same page. That God sends a word to the one he sent to feed the people. The pastor chooses, appoints faithful people who can help echo and explain the word of God. And the more we all line up with the word of God, the better our chances of leaving sacred ground talking about the joy of the Lord really is our strength. But the more we strain and want to do our own thing, then the less satisfying and fulfilling the church experience becomes. And so then I urge us again as leaders, make sure we play our position. Now, listen, would you please, to this point, you and I cannot spend all of our lives just rejoicing. This was a holiday. Somebody say holiday. It was a holiday, the Feast of Trumpets. It was a time to celebrate the Lord has brought us through another year. It was a time to give anticipatory praise for what God is going to do in the incoming year. But the day after the holiday was a time to focus in on obedience. And I say to you, thank God for rejoicing on Sunday morning. But how many of y'all know right behind Sunday morning comes Monday morning? Don't let your religion wear off after the benediction. You and I must focus on obeying the Lord. Because whenever we skip obeying, we'll find ourselves grieving all over again. So then let me help us get concrete about areas of obedience. Every Sunday, if you would read in your bulletin, we list the mission and values of our church. We have beautiful, beautiful Bible-based values such as evangelism and edification, love, worship, community involvement, and excellence. What beautiful words on paper. But if you really want to live by this sermon, you and I must do more than read the words on the paper. It's time to obey the words on the paper. That is evangelism. You and I must be in the habit of inviting and bringing loved ones to not only church, but more importantly, to Christ. Do you not know you can make it to the church building and never meet Christ? Your job and mine is to help people get hooked up with Christ. That's why we have the evangelism literature. That's why we keep pounding away at how every believer ought to know the plan of salvation. Evangelism is just that important. But then we said edification is one of our values. This is where you and I must practice what we preach. It's hard to build others up in areas we are not built up ourselves. And therefore, we are reminded of the importance of studying, serving, and giving. You and I have to study the Bible so we can know what God wants us to do, and then do what the Lord said do. It's dangerous for you to never crack your Bible. It's dangerous for you not to know what the Bible says. That's why some of y'all level of faithfulness goes up and down, because you're serving the pastor. You're not serving the Lord. When you serve the Lord, you keep serving the Lord. You don't get mad with pastor and stop serving the Lord, but when you get mad with pastor, you stop serving pastor. You got to get in the word so you can have stable faithfulness in your serving the Lord. But not only studying and serving, how much further our church would be if you and I would trust God in our giving. I don't want to get stuck on that point. Come on, let's talk about love. So we have the value of evangelism and edification, but then we have the value of love. And how many of you all know that love is a command from the Lord? Now, I need you to really get this in your spirit. There's a big difference between love one another and like one another. Lord never said like one another. He said love one another. And I need a minute to explain. To say I like you means I really enjoy being around you. It is an emotion-based situation. And you know, there are some people we like, and others, there are some people we like. Amen. But the Lord did not say anything about like ye one another. He said, love ye one another. This is not emotion-based. It is command-based. It is commitment-based. It is do what the Lord told you to do. And I know it's hard, because there are people in your life and in mine who are so difficult to get along with. Now, if you sit next to one, don't say amen too loud. Just go along with me. Say amen in your spirit. Amen. But there are some folk that are just so hateful, and it's difficult to roll with them. They're so negative. But the Lord says love them anyhow. And then when we need a model of love, look what the Lord does. He shows us how much he's loved us. When it seemed like I can't love these nerve-wracking people, I want you to think about how God keeps on loving you. When you think you can't love people as hateful as this, as selfish as this, as narrow-minded as this, I want you to think about how God keeps on loving you. Now, as much sense as this makes, the truth of the matter is we struggle to get even leaders in the church to have brief conversation with members in their own church family. So we say amen like we got it, but then we ignore one another like we don't have it. That means you're missing my sermon here. You got to get over past rejoicing to obey. But then we said that we value worship. We said that we value lifting the name of Jesus. Now, I really think some of us are confused on this point. I think we're just a little confused. I think when we say worship, it registers in our mind as religious entertainment. But that's not the case. Worship is not about making you feel good. Worship is about lifting the name of Jesus. Worship is not about trying to find the right playlist for you. Worship is about calling on the name of the Lord. Worship is not about trying to find a sermon that tickles you and makes you feel good. But worship is about sharing what thus saith the Lord. And so then I urge us to spend more time on worship. When you come to do the work of worship, you don't have to wait until the pastor get a tune in his voice. You don't have to wait until the song to the choir sang your favorite song. The work of worship starts at the call to worship, and it goes all the way through to the amen of the benediction. I wish I had a witness here, but then we also said that community involvement is one of our values. Now thank God for 1,000 volunteer hours, and thank God for $11,000 that's going to be invested in the community. But the truth being told, most of us do nothing in the work. Find something to do. You know, I've discovered normally the person who's rocking the boat is the one who's not rowing the boat. Find something to do in the kingdom's work. If you can't sing, if you can't usher, if you can't preach, find something to do in the kingdom's work. If you don't want to work with Every Child Succeed, Urban League, try the NAACP, try the Avondale Community Council. Find something for your hands to do. And then finally, we said excellence is one of our values. We sing, we want to do everything at a high level, a level that bespeaks the majesty and glory of our God. You know, if the church belong to us, then the bar could be mighty low. If Southern was nothing but our social club, then average would be all right. But when you understand the church belongs to God, He purchased it with His blood. The church is the bride bride of Christ. The church is the body of Christ. Then can't you see that 99 and a half won't do? I'm striving to give 100 because after all, that's what he gives to us. Calvary was not average stuff. Calvary was excellence. I wish I had a witness when they beat my Lord. That was excellence. When they nailed his hand to a rugged cross, that was excellence. The blood that came streaming down, that was excellence. Every time, yes, you find your name on the program, you ought to remind yourself, it's all about Jesus. I wish I had a witness here. Every time you find your name on the program, you ought to do your part in such a way that you want the Lord to see how thankful you are for how good he's been to you. I think I'm too abstract. Let me get a little closer. If you usher, you ought to smile like you want the Lord to know how thankful you are for his hands being nailed to a rugged cross. If you sing background, you ought to sing your part in such a way that heaven says they show sound thankful for the blood this morning. If your job is to drive the van, you ought to drive the van with such a positive attitude that people ask you, well, what's wrong with you? What happened? Why are you so happy? You ought to tell them about 2,000 years of going now. Jesus paid the price, for my soul. He paid the price for me to be here today. And I'm just thankful for how he brought me. I'm thankful for now he never left me. I'm thankful for how he's opened doors that can't nobody close the doors. I'm sorry it has become personal, but let me testify, I'm glad that God is in charge of this thing. Let me tell you what God can do. God can open doors that mean men try to close in your face. God don't just open the door, but he keeps the door open for you. I wish I had some help. Anybody here know God specializes in making a way out of no way? I've seen him. I said I've seen him make a way. it was a wall, but when God got finished, it was a door for me. I know how Moses felt when he went down to the Red Sea. When Moses went down to the Red Sea, water was flowing. But when God got finished with the Red Sea, highway went through the Red Sea, and God with invisible hands held up the water until the last of his children crossed over, and then God moved invisible barriers and water drowned Pharaoh's army. I wish I had a witness here. You know it is dangerous to be in the middle of the Red Sea without the anointing, without grace, without favor. It's dangerous to be in the wrong place. But oh yeah, I didn't mean to go this far, but I'm thankful. I said I'm thankful that I know, that I know, that I know, that I know God will make a way somehow. Don't understand it, can't explain it, but by and by, when the morning comes, we'll understand it better, better, better. I said by and by. I dare you to just keep your hands in the master's hands. I know you can't see it. I know you don't understand it. That's why we walk by faith and not by sight. But I can tell you, if you just keep doing what the Lord say do, the Lord will make a way somehow. You don't have to leave here with a hung down head. You can rejoice and spend the rest of your journey focused on obeying God's will for your life. And I tell you, the best is yet to come. Would you stand? The invitation is extended. If things are not well between God and yourself, today's a marvelous day. Come and get right with God. The door is open. The invitation is extended. If you know you need to come, why don't you step out of the aisle and come on right now? If you know you need to get right with God, if you know you need peace with God, just come on right now. No matter how jacked up you think your life may be, you can come to Jesus right here,
on the battlefield
right now.
For my Lord.
You need to be in somebody's church.
On the battlefield for my Lord.
If you're outside the church, why don't you come on in?
I promise him that
today's a good day.
Serve him till I die.
This place is a good place.